This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy. 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 And enjoy the ride.
As gay men, the last thing on our mind is usually a pap smear, but the human papilloma virus is certainly something that gay men do contract. In fact, a huge percentage of the population have it. Joining me to talk about a new research study in regards to the human papilloma virus and gay men who have anal sex is Marcus Chen, Clinical Associate Professor of the Melbourne School of Population and Health at the University of Melbourne. Marcus Chen, welcome.
Thank you, Dean.
Tell me what the human papilloma virus is first, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, the HPV virus is the virus that causes genital warts. And it's also the same virus that causes cervical cancer in women. And that's had sort of more interest because now we have a vaccine against HPV, which young women are having to prevent cervical cancer.
Now, I've seen a documentary on television about various islands in the Pacific where they've had high rates of cervical cancer and they've gone into basically inoculate the entire population. Is that the right? Am I using the right terminology?
Yeah, vaccinate is probably the term we generally use. And that's right. I mean, cervical cancer is very common, particularly in developing countries, less so in places like Australia, but still a problem. And the HPV vaccine has been shown to be very effective at preventing that cancer. And Australia has been leading in this area, and we have what's called universal vaccination of young girls and women.
What does that mean, universal vaccination?
Yeah, that's right. I should explain that. That means young women, girls are being offered the vaccine for free and basically everyone's being encouraged to take it up. But so far there's no government program that promotes use in boys or men.
Now, there is a bit of controversy around HPV vaccine, particularly because it's given to young women at this point in time that haven't finished growing. And do parents have the option of opting out of the vaccination?
It's a good question. I'm not entirely sure about that. I'm sure there is some process to allow for that, and there will be people who don't want to be vaccinated. But, you know, the vaccine's been shown to be very effective and generally very, very safe. And sure, there has been some controversy around that. And there always will be people who are a little bit sceptical of vaccinations. But on the whole, people have taken it up pretty avidly. And there's been high rates of vaccination in Australia, which is good to see.
Now, when I think of papilloma, I think of sores on your feet, like little... is it the same thing?
Yes and no. It's the same group of viruses. Okay. They're all HPVs, but there are many different types. They're all invisible, so you can't see them. But there are certain types that predominantly infect the genitals and the anus. But yeah, similar virus.
Okay, so let's talk about HPV, this vaccine. We're talking about two strains of the HPV virus, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the common vaccine that's around called Gardasil covers four types of HPV virus. Now, two of those are the common causes of genital and anal warts, and two of them are the common causes of cancers and precancers like cancer of the cervix. And the interest we have in men who have sex with men is cancer of the anus.
How prevalent is anal cancer in gay men? And is it more so or more prevalent in gay men than it is in straight men?
Yes, it is more common in gay men. We know that from Australian data. And it's so it's more common in gay men than heterosexual men. And it's even more common in HIV positive MSM, probably because of the immune suppression you get with HIV, which makes you more prone to certain things like some cancers. And there was some interesting data from the National Centre of HIV presented in Sydney not too long ago showing that, you know, the rates of anal cancer are disproportionately high in areas like Darlinghurst in Sydney, for example.
Right.
That's new data. So we know it's more common. The reason we're interested in this is because currently the vaccine is not available in a subsidised way or promoted among boys or young men, and that includes MSM who potentially could have that risk of anal cancer reduced if they were vaccinated.
According to gay.com, there is an annual rate of approximately 35 cases of anal cancer per 100,000 people, and the figure doubles in people living with HIV.
Yeah.
And does the contraction of HPV open you up to being more susceptible to HIV?
Oh, so is the question, if you have HPV, are you more susceptible to HIV?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in fact, there is some data to suggest that might be the case. You know, previously all the studies showed that it was things like syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, that sort of thing, that if you had those, particularly in the anus and your anal sex, that would predispose to also acquiring HIV. But there also has been more recent data suggesting HPV might be important as well.
What are the symptoms of HPV?
Usually nothing at all. So most people who get the virus don't see or feel anything at all because it's an invisible virus, and a minority of people actually develop warts they can see. So, you know, some people may have had sort of warty growths on their fingers or elsewhere. It's a similar sort of thing that develops on the genitals or on the anus.
So anal warts are the HPV virus?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
This vaccine, if you've got HPV, can you test that you've got it first? Is there a test that tells you that you do have it in your system?
In routine day-to-day practice, unfortunately, no. In research, we have tests that can test for HPV, but it's not like you can go to your GP or a doctor and ask for a test for HPV.
Even if you wanted to?
No. You can have one for sort of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV, etc., but unfortunately not for HPV virus.
If you've contracted HPV and you do have it, does the vaccine cure it?
Yeah, so that's a good question. No, not as far as we know. So it's not what we call a therapeutic vaccine. There are some vaccines which, if you've got an infection, it will help cure that infection. It's more as a preventive, and we know it's highly effective in preventing HPV infection.
So that's why the young women are given the vaccine before they've had sex and before they've contracted HPV.
Absolutely. So that's absolutely essential. So even before the vaccine was available, there was good data showing that, you know, young women picked up the virus very early on after, you know, commencing in their sexual experience.
Because so many people carry it.
It's that common. You know, there's the term which I quite like, that it's the common cold of STIs.
Which is a kind of worry. It means that basically we've all got it. If we've started having sex, if you haven't got it, your chances are you're going to get it pretty soon.
Yeah, I think, and that's what I tell people who are diagnosed with warts. You know, they feel terrible, of course, and miserable. Sure. But when you tell them it's like a common cold, in fact, most people get it. It's just unfortunately a few people show the signs, and they will think, oh, lucky me, I'm one of those people.
How is it treatable if it does show itself with symptoms like the warts?
Yeah, so if you've got warts, there are a number of treatments. There are creams, there's what we call liquid nitrogen. You can actually freeze them off.
Dry ice.
That's right. So they are treatable, but
does that get rid of them?
In many cases they'll come back, because the thing about HPV, it's very clever at persisting. So someone can have the virus for many, many, many months and get recurring warts, which of course people find dreadful have to have quite a few treatments to eventually get rid of them. So we also know that they cause a lot of, you know, emotional, psychological distress.
Sure.
People can see them.
They're ugly.
Yeah, they're ugly. They don't do much for your sex life.
No.
or your sort of self-image. And,
sure.
And so they're a cause of what we say, you know, considerable morbidity. So that's another beautiful thing about the vaccine. It prevents those warts. And we've got data from our clinic, one of the sort of earliest indicators that in a place like Australia, where lots of people get vaccinated, or certainly lots of women, warts are slowly disappearing in the community.
So as our youth of today grow up and people your age and my age drop off.
Thanks for that.
Is the idea that no women will be affected with HPV? What does that leave us with the men?
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
We'll have a whole population of men carrying HPV and women who can't get it.
Yeah, well, that's why a lot of people argue, well, why aren't boys vaccinated? Because there are two parts of an equation. And if you vaccinate just women, then surely some of the men are going to have the virus and you don't actually get rid of the virus in the whole community. And I know that there are people in the field who are arguing for boys, stroke, young men to be vaccinated as well. I don't know if any decision's been made on that, but those arguments have been made to government.
Am I right in saying Australia played a very large part in discovering the HPV vaccine?
Yeah, very much so. So a lot of the research that went into the vaccine development occurred in Australia. There's a well-known Australian, well, it was originally from Scotland, Ian Fraser, who was instrumental in developing the vaccine. And not only has Australia been important in developing the vaccine, but also in its implementation, in other words, getting that vaccine out there into the population.
Now, about 20 million people are infected with HPV in the United States, and almost 3,700 women in the US die of cervical cancer each year. It would be interesting to know how many gay men die of anal cancer with the, you know, direct comparison. How prevalent is the rate of anal cancer here in Australia?
Yeah, the information's incomplete. There's a lot of interest going into anal cancer now. We're doing some research. There's research occurring at the National Centre for HIV in Sydney, looking at you know, the early stages of pre-cancer. The figures that we have suggest that it's probably as common as cervical cancer was in women before we had screening for cancer, in other words, the Pap smear, which of course reduced cancer dramatically. So I think everyone in the field feels it is an issue. And it's an issue we don't quite know how to deal with clearly, in that there's no clear screening program. So for cervical cancer, you've got a well-established Pap screening program. It's well known, you know, women participate in that, but we don't have anything like that for anal cancer right now, and that's
it's a bit disappointing, really.
Yeah, it's a very controversial area internationally, how you might screen for it. Part of it is that you know, we largely use what we call cytology in Pap smear screening. So you scrape a few cells off the surface, you put under the microscope. If they look sinister at all, then a woman can have treatment to prevent cancer by removing those abnormal cells. But cytology in the case of anal cancer is incredibly unreliable.
Because there's a lot going on there.
Well, in simple terms, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
So there needs to be something worked out. And that's why I think the vaccine's particularly exciting, because if gay men could be vaccinated before they're infected by HPV, and that's instrumental before they're infected, then we may well be able to prevent anal cancer.
We're speaking with Marcus Chin. He's the Clinical Associate Professor from the Melbourne School of Population and Health at the University of Melbourne. We'll be back with more, and we'll have a little look at a research study that he is conducting.
Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Brought to you by Manhouse.
Leather, rubber, lifestyle, gear.
Manhouse.com.au.
Marcus Chin is the Clinical Associate Professor at the Melbourne School of Population and Health at the University of Melbourne. Marcus, that's one hell of a title. Tell us what the Melbourne School of Population and Health do.
It's a fairly general school, so as the name suggests, it's the part of the University of Melbourne that looks after population health or public health. So it encompasses a lot of different areas, and I and a few other colleagues are part of the sexual health unit within that school, which is focused on sexually transmitted infections, including prevention, treatment, etc., and research in sexual health.
And you're particularly associated with the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre.
Yeah, that's right. So I sort of wear a couple of hats. I'm a sexual health physician, so I'm a specialist in treating sexually transmitted diseases, and I do that at the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre with lots of other doctors. And also I have a research interest affiliated with the University of Melbourne.
Yeah. Which links us nicely to the Hyper Study, one of your research projects. Now, the Hyper Study is looking for 16 to 20-year-olds who are gay men, who understand that they're sexually attracted to gay men but have yet to have anal sex. Am I right in saying that?
We're interested in same-sex attracted guys in that age group, 16 to 20, really whether or not they've actually had sex with other men, whether they're experienced or not. And we're particularly interested in that young age group, because there's data suggesting that By their 20s and certainly by their 30s, probably most gay men are going to be infected with HPV infection. And what we want to know is, well, when do guys pick up HPV? And therefore, can we really get in time to vaccinate gay men before they get infected?
Calling out for young men 16 to 20, I imagine would be fairly difficult to do because you're looking for young men who are clearly okay with their sexuality. However, under the age of 18, they're not adults, and you'll want to ask them pretty invasive questions about their sexual acts. Do you need to get parental approval for this sort of research?
Yeah, it's a very good question. We thought this was a very important question. We put it to the Ethics Committee of the Alfred Hospital Research Ethics Committee, and they were happy with the fact that we could recruit down to the age of 17 and 16 without parental consent.
Wow.
And
controversial, perhaps.
So long as we felt and we assessed that they were of sufficient maturity to understand the research and everything we were doing. So, in fact, we have a very experienced research nurse involved in this, Andy Morrow, who meets all guys who are interested, has a chat with them, and just checks that they're okay with everything.
So I'm an 18-year-old gay man and I want to help you out. What are the sorts of things that you're going to be asking me?
Yeah.
And what do I get out of this?
Yeah. So basically, in a nutshell, we want to know if we can vaccinate men before they get infected for HPV. So guys going into the study will be tested for HPV, which I said before, you can't normally do, but they'll get a test from the mouth, the genitals and the anus for HPV, get an STI screen done, which is probably not a bad thing. And they will get some questionnaires, as you say, with some pretty intimate questions about, what they've been up to sexually, numbers of partners, that sort of thing. But they're all warned about this beforehand, that we're going to ask these questions. We'll ask them to come in four times over 12 months. And for that, they'll be reimbursed for their time with a voucher, shopping voucher. And at the end of it, if they want to, they'll also get the HPV vaccine for free.
Now, if I was an 18-year-old kid and I knew that HPV could lead to me getting anal cancer and I wanted to go out and get a vaccination, would you just give it to me for free normally?
Yeah, no. So even though it's been approved for use in boys and it's safe to use, currently the government doesn't subsidise it. So you have to pay for probably in the order of $450 for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if I participate in the research study, you'll give me that for free?
That's right. So that would be... And we thought it'd be nice to offer guys who... take the trouble to engage in the study to have that for free. Yeah.
How many people do you need to make this worth your while?
Yeah, we need 100.
Yep.
We knew from the start it would be difficult to get, as you say, this group of young guys who may not be out, etc. And it's been really interesting, we've been doing the study for probably about 6 to 7 weeks and we've already got over 30 guys.
That's
already.
That's great.
So we are very excited. You know, that before we started, there were a lot of people who know quite a bit about, gay men in Melbourne and from a social research perspective, who thought we had no chance at all.
Really?
And so we started, there were some optimists, some pessimists. To have got 33 this quickly, we think is terrific. We've had guys who have been glowing about the study, which is really fantastic.
And
to
I
see.
Imagine they would tell their friends too.
Well, it's been happening. Interesting, we've tried to put it on Facebook, and even though it gets lots of shows on Facebook, we haven't actually had anyone
come through
via Facebook, but we're hoping word goes around.
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
Which is fantastic.
Now, the Hyper study, when does that finish? When do you have to have had all of these, this 100 game young men come to you by? Is there a time limit on this?
Not a strict one. We're trying to recruit as quickly as we can because we'd like to get on with the study. But it'll go through to early next year, probably be still going in March or April.
Okay, so let's go over the commitment from me as a young gay man who wants to do this study. How long is it going to take? How often is it going to take? And when can... Also, when can I find out the results of the study?
So if someone is interested, they'd come into Melbourne Sexual Health Centre.
Yep.
probably take half an hour or an hour at the first visit with a questionnaire, some of those tests which I mentioned, and then there'd be another visit 3 months later, mm-hmm. 1 6 months later, and then 1 12 months later, and that would be it. And
so it's a 12-month commitment for visits.
That's right.
Can I make an appointment for that? Because absolutely. I know that at Melbourne Sexual Health, sometimes you can sit there for hours on end.
That's true. Even though we try They're not busy. To. We are busy. Yeah, no, we make a special provision. If people call up, we'll arrange a time and make it as easy as possible.
Not only that, I guess you get a STI check each time you go.
Certainly one at the start, we do. And then if guys want another one for later on, absolutely. Yeah.
I highly recommend that anyway. Marcus Chen, how can I make myself available for this study if I am 16 to 20 years of age and I'm a young gay man and I want to help you out with your HPV research?
It's very simple. We've got a 1-800 number, which I think you might have in front of you.
It's 1-800-887-324. 1-800-887-324 is the number. And for more information, go to hyper.org.au. Is that right?
That's wonderful. That's absolutely right.
Marcus Chen has been our guest. He is the Clinical Associate Professor at the Melbourne School of Population Health at the University of Melbourne. Good luck with the Hyper study.
Thank you very much, Dean. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Hide and seek.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. On Joy 94.9.
Sponsored by Manhouse. Leather, rubber, lifestyle. Manhouse.com.au. Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.